All right, here we go. We're about to start the podcast, and a little reminder at the very end. This week, we've got a cool interview with one of our favorite people, Randy Houser. He is awesome. You're going to love him. If you've never actually listened to him in a conversation, wow, it goes all over the place. So that's at the end, right after the podcast officially ends with the jingle. We do have the interview tagged on.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba. They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
Oh, yeah. The podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. You can get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
I'm going to say some stuff.
That was my highlight from today.
Patrick. Let's hear it again.
Okay, hold on. This is our gold this week.
I'm going to say some stuff. I don't know who I turned into at the end of that segment.
Okay, before we go into anything, I need to show Patrick on the camera because it's still the biggest news of the show. You ready for this? If you have not seen, for those of you who are watching live stream, if you have not seen Patrick yet,
look at this stallion.
Look at that man.
Look at that man.
Yes, the good looking man.
Dude. He's
a good looking man. I'm just saying.
Good looking man.
Patrick has gone from looking like Tom Hanks in whatever that movie
Castaway,
to looking like a guy who's the
best comment. I wish I remember who wrote it on Twitter. Somebody said you went from "You shall not pass" to "Hey girl, you can come over." That's my favorite comment. I'm gonna say some stuff.
I'm making that my ringtone.
At least
can you do specific ringtones? Can you make it I call you?
Yes.
That's what
yes.
Yes. It's just going to repeat over and over.
If you do
say some stuff.
I'm going to call you at
say some stuff.
4 o'clock in the morning so your phone just keeps playing that over and over again.
I'm going to say some stuff.
Kathy be like, "Why? What is Patrick? What is going on?
What's he
going
to say?
What's he going to say?
That's what I want to know. What's he going to say?
Some stuff.
Some stuff.
So when you guys go into a bathroom, and it's a public bathroom, and you have to, you're not sure who's in the stall. You can't see.
Right.
Like, you know, sometimes they go low.
I talk to people.
Do you knock on it?
What?
Or do you look through the crack?
No, you knock. You don't look in the crack. Or you grab the door and pull on it.
Or push.
Honestly, I just stand there.
Really?
I wait about 3.5 minutes. I don't want to intrude anybody's personal.
Really?
No. I'm very awkward about that.
I walk in and I go to open the thing and I usually just push. I'll push on it or pull on it depending on if the door opens in or out.
Yeah, but some of those they don't lock very well. They're just kind of, they're just closed.
Well, I do it cautiously. I do. And I know exactly what you're talking about. Especially like in high traffic areas. If the more a bathroom is used, the more... Or the less the locks work is
the
something I've found.
The worst feeling ever is to look through the crack and have a guy sitting there and your eyeballs meet. Oh, it's death.
Yeah.
It's like we both kill each other. We both just go.
I see you in your most vulnerable moment. It's like when you're watching your dog, and your dog is out on the lawn, and they're pooping. They all get that same face. They're like they're in their dog squat, and they're like they all have this little like you can see their eyes are turned down, and they're just sad looking. Yeah. They're like, don't kill me,
don't look
because
at me.
Like that's the one time they can't defend themselves. Yeah, like I see you looking at me. Don't hurt me.
Yeah, this is a weird thing to remember, but there was my freshman year in college, there were shower stalls, you know, and there was one that the way it was constructed, the crack between the door and the wall that it shut into, there was a really large gap. So everybody would just avoid showering in that one. But if it was a busy time of morning and you got stuck in that one, I mean, people tried to figure out anything they could do to like put a towel over it because it was just...
You could see right
in. You could see it. It was awful. Yeah.
You might as well not have even had a door
on
there.
And I guess one of the big problems was supposedly that had like the best water pressure. So people wanted to use it, but we're all like, we don't want to use it, but we want to use it because like I really need good hair today. Yeah. It was bad.
College dorms are the worst.
Yeah, they are.
God, they're just awful.
I've been watching all these dorm room makeovers because, you know, so many kids going back to school, and they'll start with just, you know, what they walk into, which is the mattress on that metal frame and the empty desks from like 1970.
Yep.
And then through the wonders of, you know, Amazon or, you know, Bed Bath & Beyond, and I'm going to say the girls transform. I don't think the dudes do. But the girls have things that are furry and fluffy, and it looks like an angel kissed their dorm room. It's all floaty and gauzy.
Well, that's right now. Everything on Twitter is like, because my daughter's friends, their parents are posting their dorm room pictures and all that kind of stuff. And you see some where they go completely overboard. Like I guess there's like temporary wallpaper you can put up.
Yeah.
Kind of like fathead type things, like, you know, stickers. And these rooms have the most ornate looking walls now, and I'm like, what are you doing?
And Ole Miss, they let us paint walls.
Well, this is why they can't handle hardship, because you coddle them so much. Look at this room. If your dorm room looks like something that belongs in a magazine, you're doing it wrong. You're not teaching them and helping them in any way possible.
No, it's pretty.
I know it's pretty.
I want to live in a pretty room.
But these are people that won't be able to deal with real life, because when they go into their first apartment and mom and dad aren't helping foot the bill, they're going to be like, what?
You know, they can just take all their leftover dorm stuff.
My guess.
But yeah, it is. It's a lot when you look at that. Because I mean, when I was in college, because we didn't have Twitter and Instagram to make you feel like you had to live up to that standard. So it was a big deal when you had people that coordinated their bedding. So they each had the same comforter. So you walked in and it was like, oh, you both have the blue flowers with the yellow background.
Wow.
Yeah, I was not one of those. I did not.
Wow.
But we did. We had those folks.
I mean, I don't know. I'm going to say things that I never had that. I didn't have that experience. But I did have the experience of having to live in a pay-by-the-week hotel because I didn't have money. You know, I had the experience of living in my car, and I had those kind of things. And those things taught me to appreciate what I have and not compare myself to other people. And it's the hardest thing in the world to do, is to not compare yourself. So if you see somebody on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or Snapchat or TikTok or whatever, and their room looks like, you know, something out of Home and Garden magazine, you're going to compare yourself to it, and you're never going to feel like you're doing good enough.
When you lived in your car, what kind of car was it?
A little tiny Honda Civic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And there were two of us, me and my bud, lived in the car. Shout out to Gunther. Gunther Superstar, Scott Gunther, and we took off and we went to Miami. Nobody had jobs. We're like, we're done. And we just went and couldn't find jobs. And so money ran out, and we lived in a Burger King parking lot with a bunch of geckos and an old gallon of milk that we bought, and we couldn't finish the whole thing, so we put it up on a wall, you know, just to sit there, and it stayed there for the 90-some-odd days that we lived in that parking lot. The gallon of milk sat up there and just sweltering in Miami heat.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty great to watch it curdle.
You 3 months you did this?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, granted, we would break it up because sometimes we would go to clubs and be like, hey, can I sleep in your bed? Like, that was, I guess it was kind of like a pickup line too.
Yep.
It was like, hey, you know, can I put a tent up in your backyard? Huh?
Yeah, there's nothing more attractive to a woman than a broke guy.
But, you know, there's something endearing about it because it worked often.
Wow.
And I would camp out in their backyards and that kind of stuff. I'd put the tent up and you know, it was good. Sometimes I wouldn't even get out to the backyard. I'd get in the door and we'd never go out the back door. Boom, boom. No, it just, I'd have sofas I would sleep on, floors, you name it. But, yeah, some people were super cool.
You're couch surfing.
I couch surfed. I did all that. It was a fun time.
Wow, no, never in my life will I do that.
Somebody just asked who's in labor. On Facebook, I titled the live video, In Labor Right Now. And so, like, everybody's watching. Yeah, no, it's Labor Day weekend. Yeah, so.
It's a joke.
Oh, I see what's going on.
Oh. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, seriously, man, if you don't go through hardships, you're not going to be able to deal with life when it throws a big turd at you. And it will. Over and over and over. And you've got to be able to just keep on going.
Keep on going. Keep on going.
I'm going to say some stuff.
What are y'all doing for Labor Day weekend?
Carson? Okay.
I am going to be watching The Dark Crystal on Netflix.
Oh, is that this weekend?
Yes, I saw it the dropped. Trailer. It dropped. Oh my gosh!
I thought it was just the trailer that
dropped. No, it dropped.
What
and
is
I,
The Dark Crystal?
It's the.
Did
Jim
you ever
Henson
see
thing?
The movie The Dark Crystal? It's from the early 80s. It's a Jim Henson world. It's a bunch of puppets, and it's beautiful and it's magical. And it's actually kind of a scary movie. It's creepy.
Those
but it's
things scared me. The ones that lost Skeksis. Their feathers. The Skeksis. Yes, they lost their feathers. And I was like,
And it's just it's this amazing world that he created. I just remember being so fascinated by it as a kid. And they've now created a prequel series. And I forgot about it. And it popped up today. And I was like, oh, you know what? I was going to go out with some friends. I was supposed to go on a boat. All that is getting pushed back by 8 hours.
Wow.
Because I have to make sure that I watch The Dark Crystal.
Wow.
I'm so excited for it.
Put it off and let it
no,
wait
I'm gonna
until...
I'm going to start it at the gym, and I'm hoping it's as good as I think it's going to be. But I think it is going to be that good.
Wow.
Yeah, I have a very, I like to, consumptive? I don't know if that's a word. I like to consume. It's just my personality.
It's addictive, though, because something new comes out, you have to have it right then and right there.
But if I like it, I mean, I've started a couple of shows lately that, like, I got... like half an episode and I was like, nope, this isn't for me.
Like
or...
Woo Assassins. Have you been watching that?
No.
Yeah.
What?
It's Woo Assassins.
Woo!
It's this guy who's like, he's given the power of 1,000 Woo Assassin Chinese little warlord guy thing. Anyway, the only reason I watch it is because Catherine Winnick is in it and she is Lagatha from Vikings.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Yeah, that's the only reason.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm still watching. I'm on like... episode 7.
Katrina Balf from Outlander is in Dark Crystal.
Oh, really?
She's like one of the voices because it's all puppets.
Oh, I don't want her again. Voice.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Whatever.
So, yeah.
By the way, thank you for getting me addicted to Outlander.
You're welcome.
Season 5 comes out in...
2 days after Valentine's Day.
I was going to say February.
16th, yep. Yeah, they announced it yesterday. We all have a date with James Alexander Malcolm McKenzie Fraser.
Not me.
Oh, well, I do. D, what are you doing for the holiday?
Besides college
smoke?
Football.
I'd say smoke and meat.
I'm smoking. Well, yeah. Going to be smoking a brisket. Hopefully, it turns out. I'll be up tomorrow morning, Saturday morning at about 6 and put it on. Hopefully, it'll be, I mean, by 6 to 8. And it'll be done sometime around. I'm giving myself a window of 10 to 12 hours.
That's crazy, man.
So I don't think it's going to take that long, but just in case.
I don't have the patience because I'll smell it for 16
whatever
hours. And I'm like, I just want to eat it.
Up the smoker, the whole neighborhood smells like a mix of cherry, oak, wood, just smoking. Oh, it's so great. I may do some ribs tonight, though, too.
Wow. I was telling Dee, a friend of mine, he smokes. He always puts stuff on the smoker for our football parties. I go to their house every weekend and watch football. And he gets up at 3 a.m. on Sundays to put a brisket on or whatever it is he's going to smoke. And he always throws salmon on there for me. And it's outrageous how good it is. It really, I know.
Does he do like the cedar plank thing and all that too
with
the salmon?
Yeah, he does all that stuff. And he's out there again, 3 a.m. He gets up. And it's so funny because when you think about the idea of getting up at 3 a.m. for anything, it's like, oh, why would I do that? But for him, it's just part of the game day experience.
It is.
He loves it.
I love it. I like getting up early and cooking breakfast and cooking lunch for the boys for schools and stuff like that. I enjoy it. It's a thing. And then, of course, college football.
All in.
Yeah, and tomorrow's going to be so great. So many games.
That's the bad thing about Labor Day weekend and college football and the whole thing tying. I'm travel. Every Labor Day, we always are on the road doing something. We're going to be at the beach at Stacy's dad's with the kids and everybody. So I won't be able to. We're going to be at the beach. I won't be able to watch football. Like, it's almost unfair. Like, Labor Day is when a lot of people are gone and outside. What kind of horrible thing is that? I would love to be at the games or watching the games.
I don't want to be at the games.
Oh, I love being at the games. I love being at the games more than I like watching the games.
Really?
Yeah. Just the event and being in the stadium and all that is just magic. Yeah.
Miss so much.
It's awesome,
you get
though.
Beer down your back.
I don't mind that. It's probably my beer. How'd it get on your back? I don't know.
I just loved all the getting into the crevices of college football and the who is this and that and the process and the rivalries. It's so great. And you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, except for yesterday's game that I lost my bet on. God, I cannot believe they won UCF won 62-0. What? Who does that?
Apparently they do. And that
I didn't watch because I was doing all those stupid open house things I have to do. Three kids I have to go to open houses for.
Yeah, dude, I mean, I didn't go to Gunner's. I was like, well, you already know what's going on. This is his teachers.
Well, it's like we talked about on the show. They want you to give their money. They have these little price tags. Were you in here when we were talking about that? Okay, so at the open houses, you go and they have these like it's like almost like the spirit fund or whatever, but it's like parent bucks. So they'll say like this Promethean board, which is like a smart board. Instead of like overhead projectors and all that, it's a computer screen. Okay. And you can touch it and you can write on it with your finger and do all kinds of stuff. You can erase, you can do whatever. You can throw on memes, you can whatever. So anyway, they'll go, and this right here, it'll have a big giant price tag. Looks like it's on the Price is Right. Paid for with parent bucks. And then you go down the hall and there's a clock on the thing and it paid for with parent bucks. And there'll be a light fixture paid for by, there's a fire alarm pole paid for by, I mean, the whole thing is like they put these, I don't even know what really is and really isn't paid for by parent bucks.
Everything.
But it's like, yeah, it's like, what are we paying taxes for if I'm still having to pay, you know, a whole bunch of money to the school to be able to buy the essential things, you know?
Wow.
There's a whole rack of like, now this was kind of cool. They had a whole big rack of Chromebooks for all the kids to have and all that kind of stuff. And and it's like paid for by parent bucks. I'm like, okay, great.
Look at this Promethean board.
Oh, they're awesome, dude.
It's insane.
Yeah, the new ones. And that's the thing. They've gone now, because we've been with these schools for a while, they've gone from like the first generation to the newest generation is leaps.
Oh, it's
way better. It's got these speakers built in. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I think I'm looking at the exact same one, Johan.
The one with the speakers?
It's on the side.
The white one?
Black.
Yes.
A Promethean active board. That's crazy. It looks like, Carson, like on TV, you know, like when
like
they,
the weather people are
yeah,
doing.
Yeah, and they kind of, and they move stuff with their hand.
You know, yeah, because like they use it like on football Sunday and stuff.
Yes, that's exactly it.
They have that in school?
Oh, yeah. That's what they don't use chalkboards or whiteboards anymore.
What?
They use
rich school.
Yeah, for, I mean,
rich public school. Don't let the public
school. It is a public school.
But money. Public money. Mine go to private, and we ain't got that. Our school is inside an old antebellum mansion.
Oh, you fancy.
That's nice.
Fancy. From the outside, you fancy.
You know what's interesting about that is, yeah, it was the school grew and just got bigger and bigger, and then they wanted to put the high school close, but they didn't want to build. They didn't have time. They wanted to do it quick. So they said, well, there's a out in the, because it's out in the country, and they're like, okay, well, we can buy this antebellum home and put the high school in there, and then we can build in the next few years. So that's what they've done. So it has these beautiful two staircases that go up the sides, you know, and you walk in. It's got the big pillars in the front,
my gosh,
the whole thing. And but Gunnar goes, we have to go outside and go use the steps outside next to the building to go down to the next level. I go, why don't you just use the stairs? He goes, we're not allowed to use the stairs inside. I'm like, why?
Why?
He goes, I don't know. I guess they think that all those kids are going to mess up the beauty of it.
Yeah, so. But if they're going to gut it anyway.
No, or they're not going to gut it.
Oh,
they already gutted it.
Oh, okay. I thought they were
they've already made it into school, into rooms and stuff.
Do they use it for like photography purposes? Because I'm like, wow, it sounds like a great place to get married.
Yeah,
there with a sweeping staircase.
I don't think people get married in it, but they take pictures there.
But yeah, that's what I mean.
That's gorgeous. It's all wood. I mean, wood everywhere.
Amazing.
I go
wood
there with
ceilings.
My crew, and we'll sing a cappella songs there in that stairwell, and the acoustics are amazing.
Are you guys troublemakers?
Yeah. Treble Makers.
That's from Pitch Perfect. I didn't make it up.
Oh, no wonder. See, I haven't seen Pitch Perfect. The only thing from Pitch Perfect I've seen is that video of her doing the little cup song over and over and over over. And I feel like I've seen the movie.
I've been taking the long way. Yeah, whatever. I can't sing. Whatever.
Dude, you should get the firemen and start up a fireman.
Like TikTok page?
No, what do you call that when they all sing together? A barbershop quartet. Yep. Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling.
Get them little suspenders from uniforms and the whole thing.
And the little top hats and the canes.
The striped shirts.
By the way, the suspenders are probably the coolest perk to the job.
Oh,
like,
hey,
I don't know why. I'm like, I love suspenders. Like, you'll be on a scene or whatever, and you don't have your big bunker coat on. So you hook your thumbs in your suspenders, you just hang out.
Dude, look
it's
at
pretty
you.
Great,
you're like
man.
A dude wearing a barrel.
It's awesome. It's really cool.
That's so great.
And then you guys can talk in the little funny voices and stuff. You know, like that.
Vaudeville.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Ah, got him with the old Philly sidecar. Yeah, okay.
The talkies where the death is island pictures. Play me off, Gene. Da 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 da. Yeah.
You guys, that could be a thing.
Play me off, Gene. It's awesome.
And you guys could do it to raise money.
Yeah,
yeah
we could.
That'd
you just
be
show
adorable.
Up. You, know, you show doing, up at buildings we are, downtown.
We are doing our big fill fundraiser coming up in a couple weeks.
You guys do
weeks.
The fill the boot?
No, we don't. We do like an open house, and then that's where people come to us, and we show them around the firehouse and let the kids play with the, we have like little low pressure hoses that they can use and they can knock out like a, it's like a little house that we have made and it's got little fires that pop up on springs. So they hit it with the water and the fire pops out and they'd have to hit all the water and we time them.
How fun
them and,
is that?
Yeah, it's cool. So that's how we're doing it.
That's great.
And y'all need money?
When is it?
You're raising money. Yes. You got plenty of it.
It's like you guys have the Buzz Lightyear ride at Disney World right there in your firehouse.
I don't like the fill the boot thing anyway. Well, I used to. I feel like a lot of pressure before.
You know, here's the thing. If you see the firefighters there on the side of the roads or at the intersections doing the fill the boot, give. Because, you know, a lot of you would not believe how underfunded fire departments are. And it's just, it's, hey.
Patrick just spilled wax.
What
sorry.
You just did is what I did to your cake.
Yeah.
So you were all mad at me for doing that, and you just did it to my floor.
I was
my
mad because I thought you did it on purpose.
You did it on my floor on purpose.
No, he turned it because he wanted to see. He thought it was like a flashlight.
That is true. I did. I turned it thinking I could point it at it, and it just spilled all over his cake.
I know. I pulled up one time.
Man, those bad flashlights.
Yes.
I pulled up one time.
They're better than darkness. I do want to say this, but yeah, please, if you see somebody, the fire department's doing the fill the boot, that is their only fundraiser usually for most of these departments, and you know, every dollar counts. I mean, you know how it is. Big D, as somebody who flew airplanes for a long time, you put the word aviation on anything and the price, even for the same light bulb. You could buy a light bulb for a car and it's like $6. You go to get the same exact light bulb, but it's got the A on it for aviation and it's $100.
Don't
and
you
it's
go,
the same thing with fire stuff.
Okay,
is everything's so
isn't
expensive.
Isn't there tax dollars that go into that?
Yeah, there are, but not enough to, I mean, dude, it's anything fire and police. What happens whenever they have to make cuts? They never make cuts in the big places. The first things they always do is cut fire and police because, you know, it's not cutting, you know, education dollars or whatever.
I just know that I pulled up one time. This guy comes up and he says, hey, man, we're filling the boot. And I said, are you a fireman? Because he was just in regular clothes. And he goes, no, but I got a boot. And he had a boot, like cowboy boot. And I was like,
No.
See, and I've had it where I have the fireman filling the boot, and then a block later, there's that guy who's trying to,
like, hey, you know what?
He's piggybacking
these,
on him. Yeah, and so he'll get a boot. And so it's like, oh, no, there was a green light. I missed my firefighter. Oh, good, there's another one at the next block. And you know it's not.
How about the guys who dress up and, like, they wear bow ties? You've seen those guys?
No.
They wear, like, a shirt, a white shirt and a bow tie to... And then they have like a laminated card that you can't read. It's like, hey man, we're doing this for education.
Wow, you got better panhandlers than I do.
I've seen the same ones. Like,
really?
And not even that, they'll do it and they'll say they're doing like church trips and things like that. Help fund our church trip.
Wow.
And they'll have the laminated card that's been creased and you've seen it's been used over and over and over and over and over in a city near you. It's coming. I'm sure they travel around with this little scam, but they do that and. You're like, no, I'm good.
Hey, Patrick, what are you doing this weekend for Labor Day?
I'm going to play poker.
Is Vivica going?
With your awesome new haircut and beard trim.
Is it just you, a guy trip?
Just me. Nope, just me. I'm going. I'm leaving, you know, in the next 5 minutes, I hope. And I'm going to play poker.
You're in a tournament?
Mm-hmm. One tonight and one tomorrow.
Wow. What's a buy-in?
I don't even know. Probably $100, something like that.
For each one?
Yeah.
You what would you win?
The one tonight, it depends how many people are in it.
Okay.
But yeah, over 1,000 for first place, I'm
what?
Sure.
What?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
What's the buy-in?
Probably about $100.
I'll go.
I thought you had a trip you were going on.
I'm kidding.
By the way, every month we have a monthly little game, a bunch of music industry people, and Bubba finds out and always goes, oh, yeah, I'll be here. Never here.
Boy, that sounds awful.
What? It does sound awful.
Coming in here and just playing cards is a bunch of...
Oh, my God, it's the most... Carson, isn't it fun?
I mean, it was. And then you started inviting people that aren't, and they were dorks, and sat me at their table, and I got irritated.
What did that guy say? He always said,
hey, two maids a-milking, or whatever.
Oh, he always had a little...
everything was the 12 days of Christmas. You're like, swans a-swimming. Like, I get it, dude. It's a six. Right? Like, calm down. All right?
What do you go? Five golden rings.
I don't know if he might have sung that.
If he did, I would like to see that.
Oh, he's so irritating. And I'm like, dude, I just showed up to, like, hang out with cool people, and I'm at the wrong table.
There's a guy who does that, my buddy Butch, who does that, and he's got this really hilarious just personality.
Yeah, this
everything
wasn't
he says
Butch.
Is funny. No, it wasn't Butch.
No. But, this was boring.
Every
man.
Card has a name, so no matter what it is, he'll say the name.
Here's
you know.
Jimmy.
Yeah.
Like, all right, man.
Like, what do you mean? Has a name?
I don't know. Like a seven is a tater digger, and
are you kidding me?
Yep.
And you invite this guy to play poker with
every
you?
Every week, he's hysterical.
I'm not sure I could handle him either.
Oh, yeah.
No, if you call your hysterical. Seven a tater digger
a tater
every
digger.
Single time, does he do it every single time?
Every time. Every time when he's dealing.
Yeah, no, that.
When he throws the cards down on the
he calls
board,
them out as he does it.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, no, that would not be cool.
No.
That's a cowboy, a tater digger, and a little duck, which is a two.
It's things like that make me want to run back to Connecticut. I couldn't deal with that man. There's no way.
Oh, that's great.
Hey, we had a good time with Randy Houser. I know we're about to play the interview, but if you haven't gotten the album Magnolia, it is really good. It's one of those that as a radio guys and girls, I find that there's not a lot of, like Bubba said, there's not a lot of radio hits maybe. But I like it. That's why I like
I'm
it.
I'm going to put that on
Magnolia
while I'm driving.
On Magnolia.
And just listen to the whole thing.
Magnolia is so good. Mm-hmm. Like so, so, so good. And now he's got the documentary as well, which is kind of like the story of the album. It's like a visual thing. And what did he say that's on? Like Amazon or something
Yeah,
like
it's
that?
A movie about
it's like an
it's
actual
like,
movie. It's
like
not
there's
a,
actors and stuff.
Yeah, so a lot of cool stuff going on
is
with all
free,
that.
Is that free or do you have to buy that?
You got to buy it.
You got to buy it.
No, yeah. Look, Carson knows.
Have you seen it yet?
Yeah, because we got a free copy of it.
Oh,
we did.
Yeah,
we didn't, but apparently Carson did.
It was in a link.
Oh, we don't.
Okay,
need
I do want to say
sorry.
This too because a lot of people have asked about wedding updates and all that. But Stacy specifically asked me yesterday what you were going to do. By the way, she likes the hair and the beard. But she asked what you were going to do. She said, "Is he going to let it grow for the next 5 weeks before the wedding, or are you going to cut
if
it again?
Do, who cares?
Are you going to cut it again though before then, just to like touch it up and clean it?
Probably."
Like have somebody go
talking to a guy who didn't cut his hair for a year. You think I know if I'm going to cut it in the next 5 weeks?
You're getting married in 5 weeks.
Probably.
You should know.
It's going to be fine. I'm
you
thinking
are,
I
right?
need to let the beard grow out a little bit because
no.
it's a little too short.
No.
A little too short.
No.
A little bit
no,
too
because
short.
Here's the thing. You let it grow an inch, and next thing you know, it grows out 7 inches.
Yeah.
And then we're back to the old Patrick
right
we had
where
before.
Right started from. You missed me.
All right. You guys done? Ready
yeah.
to go get
yeah, enjoy
your laboring on?
Yeah, and y'all enjoy your Labor Day. Have fun. Enjoy it. And be safe, please. And it goes to all you guys, too.
I'm going to say some stuff.
Say right. it. Randy Houser interview coming up next for those of you listening to the audio version of the podcast.
The best.
And here's the theme.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio. Every day.
Every day.
It was the podcast.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to say some stuff.
Hey, Randy Houser's got a new short film. It's called Magnolia. It's going to be released August 20th. Figured a short film that would be from our buddy, Arkansas favorite, Justin Moore.
Wow.
Dude, he's not even here to defend himself.
Yeah, you can't make short jokes.
Right now, Justin's going, he's looking up in the air going, Big D.
Yeah.
He feels it. Oh. He's the best. What are you doing making a, what is this thing?
It's just one of those things.
Is this like
no,
a promotional
you have to
thing?
Have a better answer than that.
No.
Just one of those things.
All right, thanks, Randy.
See you guys later. Enjoyed it. No, it's a, it was just a, it's a film, it's a short film, basically. I don't know what they're officially call it. I guess short film.
How long is it?
It's like 45 minutes or 40 minutes or something like that, but. It's you know, it's sort of the idea came from Zach Katz. The idea was born out of the fact that I don't usually like making music videos. You know
why not?
Well, especially with this album, I wanted to present the album as a whole, not just here's a song, and then. You know, a lot of times when you're going to make a video, you know, you come up with this completely different concept for this song and this song
right
here next is something completely different. And I think it fragments a little bit of what the whole thought message was for the album.
So is this on YouTube? I mean, where do people find it?
It should. Well, it comes out August 20th. They did started a pre-sale on August 12th.
Are we going to buy this thing?
You don't have to. Actually, I'll just send you one. I'll send you one that you can throw in the trash.
No. So is it kind of like it's like how many of the songs were in this short film?
I'm not sure. I never counted them, but it's not the entire
album.
It's just you know, it was the basically I, you know, play like a bar owner who ends up playing my songs in my bar, which is probably what.
So you become
holds.
Mickey Gilly is what happens.
Totally.
Okay.
That's actually not a bad idea.
Dude, it worked well for him, didn't it?
Yeah, did work. He did good. But, you know, it's, I play all of them acoustic, and most of everything is not audio taken straight from the album. It's just different, you know, different ways they're presented. But the whole point was, to, you know, people listen and in pieces these days, you know, on playlists basically, and so I feel like sometimes the art of the album is getting overlooked, and so I think it was just a creative way to try to get people in one space for a minute to listen to the music too. So it's a way, honestly, a way to try to see the album too. You know, does that make sense?
Is this your idea?
Yeah. It was Zach Katz was the first guy that came up with it, but the story and all that stuff was
the bartender thing and all that.
Yeah,
is that what you want to do?
No, not at all. No.
What do you want to do when do you want to just keep playing music all the way until you're done, like you're dead?
Yeah, I ain't doing it. That's what I do.
But you don't want to like. Are there other artists?
I'm not
like,
trying to be a movie star, I can tell you that.
But you don't try and like say, like for me, like I want to do this for a long time, but
until you're done.
But there's a time where I'm like, okay, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to entertain anyone. I don't want to talk about anything.
Well, I'm like an old man. I don't want to entertain no one.
I just want to be, you know, I didn't know if maybe that was, I guess it's not your thought.
It's not me, man. That's, you know, that's. Everybody's got their own thing. For me, this is what I do. It's what I love. It's what I've always done. And you know, I mean, obviously, one day I'll slow down, or you know, but I mean, I love what I do.
You almost have the Don Williams hack going.
Yeah,
and Don Williams.
I mean, he
played till the end.
Really, I have a Don Williams hat. Yeah. All right, Randy Houser's with us. Magnolia is the name of that short film that we've been talking about,
and the album,
and it'll be out August 20th. And like, how do you get that? Where do you go to get it?
Well, like Amazon, iTunes, any of those places that you can find digital film releases.
Oh, I didn't know you could do that. Okay,
you never watched a movie on iTunes?
Oh, on iTunes, yeah, but I was. I'm an idiot. Yeah, you're right. Okay. I don't know. I just wasn't thinking straight there. Okay, Randy Houser's with us. We'll take a break. We're coming right back. Hang on. Randy Houser's in the studio with us. It was good to see him. I like Randy because he comes in with his own bandana just in case someone farts, so he can just pull it up.
That's true.
So you're good. You're set.
Yeah.
Or if he wants to knock off a store, he could
rob
do that
a bank.
Too.
Yep.
Yeah. What's your favorite era of country music?
Oh, probably the 70s, you know? Absolutely the 70s.
70s country?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see. So you're talking like what artists here?
Well, I mean,
like Willie Nelson,
yeah,
that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So you're talking about stuff like put your headphones on real quick.
Willie and Waylon and.
I grew up, you know, a dream.
My favorite albums were made then. I don't know what all was on the radio. Yeah.
And loving cowboy ways. Pursuing the life of my
high-riding heroes.
Burned up my childhood days.
All right, how about this one right here?
The only two things in life that make worth living. Waylon. Guitars
are too good and firm feeling women.
Why does it sound so different?
I don't need like my name even, in the marquee lights.
Like even the reverb?
Got my song. Got you with me tonight.
I actually
maybe it's time
listen to that stuff a lot and ask myself the same questions from a recording standpoint, but a lot of it had to do with analog
Let's go
tape.
To Luke and Mark
you know, it's not digital.
Yeah. And also, everything
now
is,
it's digital, but it was recorded to tape.
Everybody wants to be the loudest song on the radio now.
Well, there's and a lot of that competition.
Like, you can look at the WAVE files. I do editing constantly. You know, you look at the WAVE files of some of these old songs, and they're beautiful. It's art. You can see the nuances of the song. You look at the WAVE file of a modern song, it's one solid line because it's so compressed.
I feel exactly the same. I think that we've lost dynamics in recording because everybody's making sure they squash it in case it gets on radio. It's competition, exactly what you said. But these records always they weren't squashing every instrument. And I don't know if listeners know what that means, but that means you control how loud an instrument gets. You get it as loud as it possibly can get without distorting. And that's what compression does, and it limits how loud it gets.
So everything is all at the same volume, and you're just being bombarded with sound instead of bombarded with music. And I know it sounds crazy, but there is a difference.
Big difference, yeah.
Listen to this Chinese song.
Hank Jr.
I'm not a walk behind.
Voices, man.
Blues man.
I'm a new note finder.
I think that's the biggest thing that I loved about the music from that era was that I believed everybody that was singing those songs.
Man, that's the truth.
That was the deal. I think that we have a lot of karaoke singing going on now.
Yep. We do.
Sorry, it's people that didn't write their songs and they don't really have a story to tell.
They just fit they just fit what the record label thinks people want.
I've been there. Don't get me wrong. I've seen it myself. But I think it's just partly being a kid. You don't you hadn't lived enough to understand it yet. You don't know what. Yeah. All you know is get the girl in the truck.
Yeah,
that's what to do. That's what's going on.
And then you get this.
Blue eyes cry in the rain.
You know, people talk about.
I love that you're doing this right now.
Feels good, doesn't it? Isn't it like it's like the most comfortable.
You get this is, hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is an album that you can put on at home on a Sunday afternoon and kick back, and you can ride down the road, but if you just want to chill and listen to great music, this is a great era.
I agree, man. They get so. What is this?
Oh man, no understanding.
Kind of sounds like the same feel, doesn't it?
Her chains and plans.
This is the guy sitting right here, Randy Houser.
You set me up for that one, buddy.
I did.
Well, strangest faces on this crowded street.
If you haven't picked up Magnolia yet,
they all turn away when they,
you're missing out.
They look at me.
It's hard to listen to myself after hearing my heroes.
For the rest of us,
I'm sitting here going, rrr, rrr.
For the rest of us, though, it's nice because, again, there's a lot of nuance in this music. This album is really good. You know, I remember whenever we first listened to it, I told Patrick, I said, you know, I really, and I know you'll remember this, I said, I don't hear a lot of singles on this album, but I hear a lot of great songs.
Yeah, thank
and
you.
it's hard to distinguish that, because I know as an artist a single
that's
is so
a compliment to me.
But what I'm saying is,
so yeah, you get single, you get it.
A single is it very important is. Because that's what sells the albums.
I agree.
But the songs, oh my God, that's what sells the soul. I mean,
I know,
that's
but
crazy.
It's kind of hard these days to want to write another song that thematically fits the format sometimes, because they seem to be all the same.
Yeah, but you know what? It works.
There's
though.
A few great ones, though.
There are, but it does work. You know, the old thing of cream rises to the top or whatever.
Yeah.
It does, and people will, they'll seek it out, you know, and, you know, listen, we're part of the problem, I think, even as radio guys, because I feel like we have to play a certain song. Listen, I don't like all the songs that we play.
Yeah.
I don't. I like
most of them.
I like a lot of them. Most of them.
Ray's
way to bail him out.
It's true. No, it's true.
That's a buddy right there, dog.
No. But there are times I come out of a song, and I'm like, and we're like, all right, hey, that's the new one from and and hey, all right. Okay, so we got Patrick in in Saran wrap now. And so it's almost a connection, a bridge to get to whatever we're doing. But when you hear songs like, you know, it's on Magnolia, Bubba's right, man. Those songs, they stand out because they sound
special. I
guess
the ultimate dream is to, as an artist, for radio to embrace just their great songs. Yes, no, they probably don't sound exactly like everything else on the radio. But the dream as an artist is to be able to be you and be accepted either way.
I think we're changing too. I think, you know, when we started playing Stapleton more and more, it really kind of changed a little thing. When you hear Tennessee Whiskey, you're kind of like,
a great change.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank God.
Thank gosh. And I think it continues. You're starting to see guys who are coming out who are more, I don't want to say country, but they have a traditional kind of sound.
I love it.
And it sounds good.
I love what
I'm
seeing.
It's a good mix.
Well, your ears get tired of the same sounds all the time.
They get fatigued.
All of a sudden, the old sounds new again.
Yeah. That one's not great, but some of the other ones you did are... No, I'm kidding. Randy Houser, the album's Magnolia, and we'll take a break, come back, talk with our bud Randy. Hang on. Randy Houser, the pride of Mississippi, is joining Mississippi.
I don't
know
about that. They had Elvis and these other cats. just another dude from Mississippi.
Do you ever keep up with... are you on Facebook, like, on privately?
Yeah.
Do you keep in touch with all your guys from high school and stuff?
Some of them, yeah. Everybody sort of, I don't know. I think everybody kind of moved away, but some of them I am.
So, you're a small town though, right?
Very small.
What's the name of it?
Lake Mississippi.
Lake Mississippi. Mm-hmm. Was there a lake there?
Nope.
We ain't got a lake. We'll make our own. We'll just call a town lake.
No, it was named after a railroad man. Robert Lake was his name.
Oh, so
and there's a couple of ponds, but that's about it.
How old were you when you got out of there?
Well, when I left there, I was probably 20, 21, 19, 20, 20. But then
where'd you go immediately?
I went to Meridian, which was a big metropolis. Oh,
yes, it is.
Okay.
That's where the Navy practices later on aircraft carriers. That's where the Navy practices landing on aircraft carriers before they actually go to try it on the real ones.
NAS Meridian.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good spot.
So you didn't do college or any of that?
I went to a little junior college. I went to a place called East Central Community College. And I was in a band there and just did all kind of stuff. I never went to class. But I had... a scholarship to play in this top 40 band that they would travel.
You got a scholarship for a band?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Really?
But I didn't know what I was going to
do. So you were doing a top 40 band? Like, what were you doing? I mean, like,
you
know, what kind of songs were
you
singing?
It was like a, I don't know how to explain it. It was like a, I remember doing, I'll try to find some footage of this. I bet my mom's got some videotapes, but it'd be like a, we had several different bands. We had this band called Round Midnight that was a blues band that we'd play at basketball games. Yeah, and then we'd have this band called the Collegians. It was like almost like show choir without choreography, you know. I would sing like I Like It, I Love It by Tim McGraw, you know.
Oh, so you were like the token country guy. So anything that would be
I was, I guess.
Anything that would be kind of country. Yeah. Oh, let Randy sing it.
Well, I wanted to, you know, I loved it. It was, you know, and then
so you weren't out there singing the Backstreet Boys and Britney Spears songs. Mm-hmm. I was hoping that's what he was going to say. So I'm like, yeah, we were doing Bye 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 by NSYNC. And
You guys might know this little song we call Toxic.
I don't know it.
You have no idea.
I have no clue. Right? Now, back to the Tim McGraw.
Okay, go back to Tim.
But you know, it was just like I would do like top 40 country stuff. You know, I played in a bunch of cover bands and all growing up. I didn't move to Nashville. I was 26. But I always had my own little kind of little recording rig at home. I would just write songs, and because you never could. I mean, we would play originals on those cover band nights some, but, you know, club owners hated that, you know.
Yeah, they want something everyone knows already. Yeah,
sell some beer, you know, and that was our job. Which is cool because I think that all those times and all those experiences, you know, trying to figure out how to keep a crowd in there, really helped me for later on in life, you know, like what I do now.
You ever been in?
I do get to play my music. Yeah.
You ever been in a show and you're like you see someone, like a couple, and they start talking and they're
falling
like
in love.
They're competing against you and you're like, oh my God. Do you ever like tell them to shut up?
What do you mean? They get loud?
No,
they start talking loud or?
No, I don't do that. I feel like if you can't get their attention without.
It's your fault.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That's my job. I've got some friends that I've seen do that. We know one of them has done the heck out of it. It's been like to the point it's like, oh, dude, you're creeping everybody out now. I don't do it like that. Now, I will stop a fight or break up fight or whatever.
You've broken up a bar fight?
Oh, yeah, I've broken up a bunch.
Do you just stop on stage, or do you actually jump off of the stage and get into it?
I've had some crazy situations in bars. Like, I saw, you know, some crazy stuff.
What happened?
Well, one time I was playing this bar called Chunky. It was at Chunky. What was the name of it? Halftime Sports Bar. And I was, we'd play, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, house gig. And it was way out. It was way kind of outside of town, like 30 minutes outside of Meridian. It was like in the middle of nothing, hole in the wall, sort of biker bar. And I was standing on stage, and this dude, his name's Rocky Strait, was a friend of mine. And I'd known him for a long time. And this other guy, Rocky, his girlfriend, you know, one of those things, came up and started talking to Rocky. And this guy all of a sudden just takes a freaking beer bottle, breaks it on the table, and slits his throat right in front of him.
Oh, what? My gosh.
So the next thing you know, I jump off the stage, and I've got this dude up against the wall with with my elbow up under his chin and holding his arm with his beer bottle. I don't even really remember doing it, but I remember thinking whenever I came – when I figured out what I'd done, I was like, hold on, this son of a bitch is crazier than me. I don't know why I put myself in this situation.
I guess you can just keep playing, Tim McGraw covers.
Well, that's how they do it in the movies. You got to do something, you know.
Yeah.
And then another night, I was playing this place called, and I've talked about the Shed House before. Art Shed House was the name of the place. And so he had sold it, and this guy had taken over the bar, and his brothers were ex-convicts, you know. And so he just brought his brothers home from jail, and they were going to take over the bar. And so we got there, and we did well as a band in the area. I had this band called 10 Pound Biscuit, and we did well in the area. And
it's a great band name, by the way.
It's
the
best
band name ever.
So after the show, this guy's brothers were pissed off because the band made more money than they did. And so I just got on out of there a while, got out of the door. This was late after everything was shut down. They're in there bitching and going crazy. They're fussing at their brother Bobby, who is taking up for the band. They're like, well, these guys have been doing this for a while, you know. So I realized I forgot my keys. And so I had to knock on this big heavy metal door and say, all right, I left my keys in here. And all of a sudden the door comes open on my face at about 95 miles an hour. And it was bad after that.
You should write a book.
Could make it a TV show.
Yeah, I was going to say, make that movie. I want to see but I envision you with like one of those Garth Brooks headsets where you're holding the guy by the throat and with his arm with a beer bottle, and you're still saying, I like it. I love it. Didn't even break stride. Can someone play a solo? I got to take this guy down.
That was just a couple.
Yeah, that would see a great TV show of you like narrating it and then people acting out the scenes, you know?
What? Oh, kind of like drunk history?
Like drunk history. Yes.
Maybe I should get drunk and tell them.
Next time you come in, let's get you drunk and play and just tell stories and prank call people back in Lake Mississippi.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun. Hey, make sure you get the short film. It's called Magnolia. It comes out on the 20th of August, and it's available wherever you get your videos and stuff.
And get the music, stream the music. Do what you got to do. Randy Houser, Magnolia. It's awesome. You're so going good. To love it.
So good. It's good to see you again. Thanks
good
for dropping by, brother.
Thank you.